Don't you dare talk to me about Gaza without dealing with the violence in the text. The prophets didn't suggest judgment, they pronounced it. And God cut down more nonsense than you've got verses memorized.
Welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and I'm your old buddy, Pastor Tim. This week's episode takes you right into the heart of a world trying to hold itself together with duct tape and good intentions. We start where most of us live, juggling responsibilities, managing tensions, doing our best to keep the peace even when it feels like the room is shaking. Then we'll walk straight into Isaiah's wild vision of wolves and lambs sharing the same pasture. Hear Jesus whisper a peace the world can't counterfeit. And let Paul teach us about dividing walls that Jesus tears down. And somewhere between the ancient prophecy and our own tired shoulders, grace starts to rise like a green shoot up through a stump. And friend, as you press play on this episode, know this, you're not just tuning into a podcast. No, you're slipping into our little country church on a Sunday morning. Same creaky pews, same paper bulletins, same burnt edge coffee warming in the kitchen. Folks are now settling in. Someone's whispering hello to one another. The Advent wreath is lit with two candles now, hope, and today, peace. You found your seat just in time, and I'm glad you're here. I'll see you on the other side.
So Advent week two, we're talking about peace. Today, our discussion is called, Is Your Peace in Pieces? And I hope that, I really hope that as you listen to these kind of Christmas messages, maybe if you feel like, man, I really feel like I know the story pretty well, that you'll listen for maybe something you didn't know. And if maybe I don't really know this story that well, then I hope you listen really closely so you'll know the story better. So I'm really hoping that in these discussions, that there's going to be some things that if you've been around the church for any period of time that you might feel pretty comfortable with. And then you might go, wait a minute, I didn't know that. So before we rush into it, let's just take a breath. And last week, we lit the candle of hope. And if you recall, we said that hope isn't something that we build. It's something that breaks into the world. And this week, we came to the second word on the Advent wreath, peace. Now, again, given the theme, you might already know what I'm going to say. That the world has its own version of peace. And that version of peace is one that we are expected to maintain, manage, control, perform. A peace that we have to keep propped up like a porch that's just two nails away from giving out. So, right off the bat, let me ask you very gently, think for a moment, friends. Have you ever been told to keep the peace? When what that really meant was don't make waves, don't ask questions, don't bring up that thing that hurts, don't disrupt the fragile calm that we've managed to somehow duct tape together. The world's peace is fragile, and it depends on our ability to hold everything still. Your ability to keep your family from fighting. Your ability to keep your emotions at bay. Your ability to keep your workplace from collapsing. Your ability to keep smiling when you want to scream. This is the peace the world expects from us. The peace that rests on our shoulders. Peace that depends on our performance. A peace that evaporates the second the room gets honest. But hear me. Peace that can be lost by telling the truth was never peace to begin with. Jesus once said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." And that tells us something very important. The world's peace is counterfeit. God's is a gift. The world's peace is the absence of conflict. God's peace is the presence of Christ. The world says, make it peaceful. Advent says, receive the one who brings peace. Church, if you've been carrying the burden of keeping everything together, if you've been the glue, the fixer, the mediator, the emotional shock absorber, this Sunday, friend, is for you. Because peace of God is not something you produce. It is something that arrives. And it arrives in the strangest way. As a tiny green shoot growing up out of a dead stump. Let's get into it. Isaiah 11 opens with an image that makes no sense until you maybe lived through a loss you didn't choose. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, let me slow down. The Hebrew word for stump here is geza. And geza only appears three times in the whole of Scripture. And it's not just a word for tree remains. It's actually a word for something that has been deliberately cut down. Something that has been felled by an axe. The word geza has violence connected to it. Israel had been cut down. The monarchy had failed. The nation was fractured. The temple at this point was compromised. The kings that kept coming one after another were disappointing at best and destructive at worst. And the family tree, that line of David, had been reduced to a geza, stump. And can you hear the ache in that metaphor? A stump, it's what's left when someone has come through with an axe. A stump, it's what remains after a fall you couldn't stop. A stump is a memory of height and strength and shade. Now, reduced to a reminder of what it is not anymore. And some of us are living with stumps in our lives right now. A relationship that didn't survive the winter. Dream that never quite sprouted. Faith that used to feel like a towering oak, but now somehow feels cut to the ground. Future you planned that got bulldozed by one single phone call. Marriage used to provide shade and shelter. Now nothing but rings in the wood and a memory of what once was. And Isaiah doesn't say God magically restores the tree. He says something stranger, something quieter, something almost invisible. A shoot shall come out of that stump. Now, continuing with our Hebrew word lesson for today, the word for shoot is koder, a tender twig. Something so small that you'd miss if you weren't paying attention. Something a landscaper might trim away without thinking twice. Not a full-grown cedar. Not a mighty oak. Not a sudden return to what once was. A shoot. A single green sprout has no business being there. This is the way God brings peace. Not by rewinding the story, but by planting new beginnings in fallen places. And the ancients would have understood that symbol immediately. Jesse was David's father. And from his line, Jesse, would come a future king. But by Isaiah's day, that royal line looked dead. The last decent king now was a far distant memory. The current occupants of the throne were either weak or wicked or both. Notice, Isaiah doesn't say from the stump of David. He reaches further back to Jesse, to the father before the king, to the root before the glory. It's as if God is saying, listen, I'm not starting from where the crown failed. I'm starting from before the crown existed. I'm going back to the beginning and doing something new. Why is this important to us? Because this, friends, is how grace works. It doesn't try to just fix your worst chapter of your life. It reaches back before the failure and plants something that failure can't touch. Isaiah is not describing a thriving kingdom. He is describing a kingdom that has been cut down. And yet, in the middle of devastation, God says, watch the stump. Because there, in the place where everything looks finished, peace begins to grow. And not just inner peace, not spa day peace, not don't rock the boat peace. Isaiah's peace is a cosmic reordering. Wolves lying down with lambs. Leopards lounging beside goats. Children safe beside vipers. The whole of creation unlearning its violence. Peace is not about the absence of trouble. Peace is creation remade from the roots. And that root is Jesus. Not the Jesus that we decorate in velvet in December, but the Messiah who grows out of the dead places, walks into the world's violence, and makes peace not by avoidance, but by incarnation. Now, with that in mind, let's hear the text. Attune your ears, friends, to the reading God's word. Prophecy, the poet Isaiah ben Amoz, chapter 11 of his prophecy, beginning verse 1. Shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Branch shall grow out of his roots. Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Friends, thus ends the reading of God's word. Now, did you notice what Isaiah never tells us to do? He never says, now go try harder to make peace with this. Because peace is not humanly possible. You can't make wolves lie down with lambs. You can barely make brothers and sisters do it. Isaiah is describing a world only God can create. Which brings us to Jesus' words centuries later. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. World's peace is managed. God's peace is bestowed. World's peace is fragile. God's is resilient. World's peace relies on us. God's peace sits with the Spirit. And Paul says it even more bluntly. He himself is our peace. Not he brings us peace. Not Jesus teaches us peace. Not he inspires peace in all of us. He is peace. Peace is a person. And when that person arrives, things that shouldn't coexist start sharing the same pastures. Hostilities starts losing its grip. Walls begin coming down. Dividing lines somehow get erased. Weapons become forgotten. And Paul knew what he was talking about. In that same Ephesian chapter, he's writing to a church that is torn between Jewish and Gentile, non-Jewish, Christian believers. And these two groups, they had every reason to stay suspicious of each other. Centuries of resentment towards one another. Religious superiority on one side, cultural exclusion on the other. And Paul says that Christ has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. And we think, what a great metaphor. But I wonder if you know what he's actually referencing. In Herod's temple, there was a literal wall, a barrier that separated the court of the Gentiles from the inner courts of the Jewish people. Gentiles could come close to God's presence, but not in it. Signs on the wall warned that any non-Jew who crossed it would be executed. And archaeologists have actually found these signs. That is the wall Paul is saying is being torn down. Not with a wrecking ball, not with political revolution, but by absorbing the hostility of his own body on the cross, by becoming the place where enemies meet and find themselves somehow siblings. That's the mystery of the cross. It doesn't just forgive individual sins. It unmasks the structures of hostility. It doesn't just reconcile you to God vertically. It reconciles you to your neighbors horizontally as well. Peace with God creates peace with others. And if that sounds a little too abstract, fair, think about it this way. There are people in your life you would never naturally sit beside. Political opposites, old wounds, family fractures. But the table of Christ is bigger than your guest list. And when peace arrives, real peace, shoot from the stump peace, it has a way of seating common enemies in the same pew. That is what Advent points us toward. A peace we cannot achieve. Growing in a place we never expected. From a root we thought was dead. So let me ask you. When you hear the word peace, what do you feel? Do you feel relief? Or do you feel responsibility? Because for most of us, peace has just become another burden. Don't upset anyone. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't disappoint the family. Don't stir up conflict. Don't be the reason someone else gets angry. Have you ever been the one holding the fragile peace in your family? The one who smooths everything over? The one who absorbs the tension? The one who mediates every conflict, translates every misunderstanding, and swallows your own feelings just to keep everybody comfortable? Anyone? That's not peace. That is emotional hostage taking. Or maybe for you, peace has become a state that you have to enforce. Be calm. Don't worry. Don't panic. Don't feel this. You've been trying to duct tape your inner world into stillness. And that's not peace. That's suppression. Or maybe, and this one is a little harder to admit, you have been holding on to a grudge because letting it go somehow feels like losing. Like the person you hurt wins somehow if you release them. Like peace somehow means injustice never happened. That's not peace either. That's exhaustion dressed up as principles. Or maybe, and dude, I see this one at the food pantry all the time. You've been waiting for circumstances to change because then you can feel peace. Once I get a job, once that diagnosis comes back, once the kids are settled, once the bills are caught up. You've made peace conditional on something outside of your control. And that's not peace. That's hostage negotiation with the universe. Real peace does not come from your effort. Real peace comes from God's arrival. And arrival means you're not the source. Friend, you're the recipient. Now, here's what counterfeit looks like. Counterfeit peace is the absence of conflict. Real peace, presence of Christ. Counterfeit peace demands silence. Real peace brings healing. Counterfeit peace says, don't disturb the calm. Real peace says, I will sit with you through the storm. And the world hands you its counterfeit peace, and it's wrapped in phrases like, just let it go, keep the peace, stop overreacting, just breathe, calm down. The world's peace is shallow enough to break under the weight of your real story. Christ's peace, oh church, Christ's peace has roots deep enough to grow out of dead places. Roots strong enough to push up through the stump. Roots old enough to hold creation together. Roots tender enough to wrap themselves around your sorrow. So let's talk about the peace that arrives as a shoot from a stump. God could have brought peace as an army. He brought it as a sprout, a child, a presence easily overlooked. Think about it. When the Prince of Peace finally arrived, he didn't come with a press release. No fanfare, no palace announcement, just a teenage mother, a confused carpenter, and a feeding trough in a town so small that it barely made it onto the maps. Peace begins in places too small for the world to notice. If you are awaiting peace with fireworks and resolution messages, you might just miss it. Peace often looks like a quiet moment in an otherwise chaotic week. A word that lands softer than you expected. Stillness you did not manufacture. The stump is the most honest part of Isaiah's entire image. Not a forest, not a flourishing branch, a stump. Peace finds its footing in your grief, your endings, your exhausted places. Peace grows in what feels like failure. And this is the scandal of grace, my dear friends. Grace does not wait for you to get your act together before he plants something new. The stump does not have to prove it deserves another chance. The shoot just appears, unbidden, unearned, and unstoppable. I think about those folks that come through the pantry line. People have been cut down by layoffs, medical bills, divorces they didn't want, and they apologize for needing help. They say things like, I never thought I'd be here. And I want to say, this is exactly the place where new things begin. Not in the palace, in the place where the tree fell. And Israel didn't pray for a sprout. Mary didn't ask to carry the Prince of Peace. Paul did not request the Spirit to tear down dividing walls. Peace is a surprise, a mercy that interrupts. You don't have to know the right words. You don't have to reach a certain threshold of spiritual maturity. Peace doesn't arrive because you finally prayed hard enough or believed deep enough. Peace arrives because God is in the business of showing up when nobody expected him to. Jesus doesn't hand us peace and walk away. He is peace. He stays. He remains and he abides. No wonder he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Not because trouble is gone, but because he's present. Peace isn't a transaction. It's a relationship. You can't hold peace in your hand because peace holds you. You can't lose peace to a bad day because peace isn't a mood. It's a person. And that person isn't going anywhere. So here's the invitation this morning. Stop trying to hold peace together and let it hold you. Stop trying to be the one who keeps everybody else stable. Stop trying to regulate every emotion in the room. Stop trying to manufacture calm. Peace is not a skill. It is not your job, and it is not your achievement. Peace is a person. Peace is presence. Peace is a shoot that grows out of stumps. And if you want to receive peace, you don't have to climb towards it. You simply have to stop pretending you are the source. And maybe this morning for someone here, maybe that means confession. Admitting you've been trying to be everybody else's savior. Acknowledging that you've been holding your own self responsible for the outcomes only God could produce. Maybe today for others it means release. Letting go of a grudge you've been clutching like a security blanket. Opening your hands and trusting that justice belongs to someone stronger than your anger. Maybe today it simply means rest. Putting down the burden of being the family's emotional thermostat. Stepping back from the exhausting work of manufacturing calm in a world that refuses to stay calm. Picture it with me. Stump cut down, silent, dead looking. Then, almost invisible, a green shoot pushing through the dust, defying the evidence, carrying the future inside itself. This is what God does in you. This is what God does in his church. This is what God does in the world. Peace arrives, peace descends, peace grows, and peace finds you. So let it. May the peace you cannot manufacture find you this week. May the shoot from the stump grow in places you thought were finished. May the presence of Christ, your peace, your root, your rest, steady your steps, quiet your spirits as you go. Amen. Amen.
Peace is a hard word, isn't it? We want it, we chase it, we try to stitch it together with our own tired hands. And if today's message pressed on a tender place, if it exposed the weight you've been carrying or the silence you've been keeping, hear me gently. You were never meant to manufacture the very thing God promised to give you. Peace doesn't come because you finally got the room quiet or your head steady. Peace comes because Christ stepped into the wreckage and refused to leave. And if that truth unsettled you a little, or if it breathed something soft into you, that's the Spirit doing, the Spirit does, turning our stumps into soil for new beginnings. So let that peace find you this week. Let it arrive where you stopped expecting anything to grow. And friend, thank you for joining us here in our little church. Thank you for sitting with us. I mean, real folks, real pews, real coffee. If you found grace in what you heard, if you felt the nudge of hope or glimmer of peace, feel free to throw that like in the offering plate, not as a donation, but as a witness you're still tuned in. And if you'd like to walk with us through the rest of this Advent journey, go on, tithe your subscribe. It lets us know you want to keep meeting here, candle by candle, story by story. And until then, friend, be blessed.